Listen to the chant we had just now. And aging, illness, death, separation. You can understand why Buddhism got a reputation for being pessimistic. If you take it out of context, it sounds pretty bleak. But if you put it in context, it has a very different message. Part of that context is the fifth reflection. We may not be able to depend on our bodies that are subject to aging, illness, and death, and all the other things in life that are subject to aging, illness, and death. But we do depend on our actions, and our actions can make a difference. And as the Buddha found, if you act with enough skill, training your mind with enough skill, you can actually find something that is not subject to aging, illness, or death, or separation. As he said, he had reflected on his life, all the things that he was looking for, searching for, to find happiness, were subject to aging, illness, and death, just like him. And he decided that that was not a noble use of his life. A noble search, he decided, would be one that would look for something that is not subject to aging, illness, or death. And where could that be found? It had to be found inside. And as he discovered, it could be found by training the mind, this mind which is filled with lots of things that are temporary and changing. But you can bring the qualities of the mind to a threshold that opens up to something that really is other, that provides real security. That, he said, is something of real substance. And anything you do in life that leads there is related to that. In fact, anything in life at all, to the extent that it has some substance, isn't that it leads there to that release that, he said, is not subject to any change. So that's what we're looking for as we practice here, something inside that's really reliable. Because you look at life and there's so much that it's way beyond your control. And the more you try to lay claim to things that are beyond your control, the more you're going to suffer. And you look at yourself, you look at your own mind. Things could change in society very drastically. Think about climate change, or think about just the fact that all kinds of social disruptions can happen. Can you trust yourself that you would behave in an honorable way if everything around you started falling apart? When you realize you can't even trust yourself to this extent, you look around to things outside, and even less trustworthy. So what we're doing as we train the mind is to find something inside that's not going to be touched by change, something that's not going to be undercut by change, even by the fact of our own aging, our own illness, our own death. This will still be there. That's what we're looking for. So this practice of meditation is something that is more than just stress reduction. It's more than just a nice way to spend a Friday evening. It answers a lot of really deep questions inside. What kind of life is worth living? What kind of goals are worth having? To what extent is there anything of substance in life? You think of all the different things you do. And when the sun goes nova, that's going to be it. I was talking to an artist a while back, and she was saying, well, she hoped that maybe by moving things around, changing things around, when everything turns back into a primordial soup, that a few atoms would be in a different place even then from what they would have been if she hadn't rearranged them. That's pretty sad. You want to find something that really is of value, that something that can't be touched by time or the changes in space. That's what we're looking for deep in the mind. So regard this as an honorable activity we're doing here, something with dignity. This should be, and it should be given more respect than just ordinary pastimes. And it requires that you be really honest with yourself. You look in the mind and there are lots of things that would pull you away from the qualities of mind that are needed to pull together the path that's needed to find something that's really honorable and of substance. And here we are working on concentration, but you find that there are parts of the mind that don't want to be bothered. You're trying to get the mind to settle down. You're trying to get the mind to be mindful and alert. And the parts of the mind that thrive on lack of mindfulness and lack of alertness, and they're going to push you. And so the struggle is worth it, though. If you want to simply enjoy the present moment, you can say, okay, there are no goals, there's nothing to do, everything is perfectly okay. But there's no substance to that. It's just feeling good in the present moment, and that's it, which is not what we're here for. We're here for something deeper, something we can really rely on inside. And to find that, we have to make ourselves more reliable. When you tell yourself you're going to stay with the breath, you really do stay with the breath. When you tell yourself you're not going to follow any random thoughts that come in and that would pull you away from the breath, you really do have to stick with that determination. Now, that requires a certain amount of ingenuity. How do you make the breath as interesting enough so you can withstand the pull of whatever else could come in? We think of the breath as not just the in and out movement, but it's the energy that keeps you alive. And it only stands to reason that the quality of that energy should have an important effect on the health of the mind, the health of the body. So look at the breath with interest. We know that it's a means to an end, but you don't sit here and simply have one eye in the breath and one eye further down the path to say, well, when are all the great things going to happen? It's by focusing full attention on the breath, really getting involved with it, that you get fully involved in the present moment and the mind settles down and the qualities you want are going to get developed. So even though this is a means to a higher end and the extent to which it has substance depends on where it will take you, you have to give it your full attention right now. Full attention to learning how to train the mind to stay here and to develop a sense of well-being, a sense of feeling at home with the breath. Because when you're with the breath, you're in the present moment, and when you're going to observe the movements of the mind and figure out what's skillful and what's not, you want to feel at home as you do it and not get easily knocked off. So work with the breath in a way that allows you to feel that you really like being here. That means you get to choose whatever kind of way to breathe that you want to breathe, whatever kind of way you want to conceive of the breath. Think of the breath coming in through the pores of the skin. After all, it is an energy. It's not air, it's energy. So energy can go anywhere. Where do you feel the need for energy right now? What quality of energy would you like? We're playing with the breath and we're working with the breath. Playing in the sense we're learning to enjoy it. Working with it in the sense that we realize that this does serve a serious purpose. Not a grim purpose, but a serious one. The mind's need for something that it can really rely on. The sense that our lives do have a noble purpose, they do have substance. That's what we're here for, so give it the attention it deserves.